Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us in this hour two as we roll along this morning on a Throwback Thursday. And the Throwback Thursday today, 1983. Interesting music, but we're also talking because Mario Brothers was released by Nintendo in this state, a franchise that still stands the test of time today with a number of different variations. But like we said earlier this morning, we could have gone in a number of different directions. 1985, the final USFL game, up at least until the 2022 version. Killing a league that had a lot of potential back then. Good football, had some good players. Had a lot of guys who were really, really dedicated to its growth. Spring football felt like it could work. Then they made the mistake, led by one particular owner in the New York area, wanted to try to challenge the NFL, but that didn't work out. And on 1985, on this date, it was the final game for that league. But we also were talking 1970, Pete Rose knocking Ray Fosse, the catcher, out of the All-Star game, really pretty much ending his career. And it was one of the, if you talk All-Star game highlights, there's a couple that sort of stand out. There's Ronald, remember when Vin Scully and Ronald Reagan were talking and Bo Jackson hit a home run? And there was also Fred Lynn with a grand slam. But one of the moments in the All-Star history is Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse at the plate, because that's what Pete Rose did. Didn't matter if it was an All-Star game or Game 7 of the World Series, he always played hard. Remember when he would draw a walk and he'd run to first base? There were people kind of turned off by that, but that's the way he grew up, that's the way he played. So that was one of the more indelible images of All-Star game lore, happened on this date as well. But I decided to go with Mario Brothers 1 because early 80s music is music I kind of grew up with it as a kid. And I just love the idea of something that has its moment and then disappears, like video games or TV shows or whatnot, still lasting and still hitting every single generation along the way with a different version of itself. And the Mario Brothers franchise is certainly that. And on Throwback Thursday, we do like to do a lot of pop culture stuff, as well as sports moments in history as well. All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And then later this hour, Eitan Shander is going to join us, our good friend, to talk Philadelphia Eagles football. They are the final team that we're previewing this week for the NFC East. Eagles made the playoffs last year, and they've got A.J. Brown. We'll also talk to him about the defense, including the two draft picks, the two guys from Georgia that could help them out, and Nick Sirianni in his first year. And what a surprise the Eagles were in making the postseason. That's all coming up this hour as Wake Up Call continues.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
And the good, the bad, and the dumb this morning is brought to you by Verizon. Right now, you deserve the network more people rely on. That's why Verizon is introducing Welcome Unlimited for just $30 a line per month for four lines. With auto pay plus taxes and fees, our best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Paper-free billing required. Unlimited 5G, nationwide 4G, LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on the Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, data usage only, data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, let's get the good of the day.
This one's really good. It was one of our favorite people. Dropping little hints and rumors out there.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut, yeah, what'd he do?
So he was interviewed the other day. He claims that he probably, during a practice session, that he did demolish 82 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Really? Oh.
Just practice, but he said it was perfect conditions. He was feeling great. You know, we're talking probably air-conditioned rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, which is good. You know, we would love to see 82, the 80 mark, right? I mean, that's a weird one. I don't know. What do you put that as? Like 60 home runs or something?
Yeah, exactly.
It just can't be done.
Ugh.
But he hinted that a rivalry could be renewed coming up at the end of this year.
With Kobayashi? Oh, have they worked it out with Major League Eating?
No, because his contract is ending
at
the end of this year with Major League Eating and Nathan's Hot Dogs.
Very good.
Now, I don't know. I mean, this is a contract worth watching, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, exactly.
How much does Major League Eating sign Joey Chestnut for?
If I'm not mistaken,
literally the only thing that makes him relevant.
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm sorry, but when Kobayashi left, right? I remember going, they blew it because they banned him. They banned him. There was a negotiation. When you work for Major League Eating, I guess you can only do Major League Eating events. You can't,
right.
You can't do your own thing. Like if somebody else has got a contest, you can't enter that contest. So Kobayashi said, no, I do this around the world. This is I'm well known around the world for this. I'm not going to just do your thing. So they said, well, fine, you can't participate in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But I guess then he showed up to a number of years ago. He showed up and sort of crashed it. And then they said, you're banned for life. We're never going to do a deal with you. But I thought, well, this is the only thing that like am I going to tune in every July 4th to watch Joey Chestnut beat the guy by 50 hot dogs? Like, nobody else is stepping up to the game. I mean, there was Matt Stoney. What happened to him? Where did he go?
He just dropped off.
He like off the face of a cliff. He won it 1 year. The 1 year Joey Chestnut didn't win, Matt Stoney won. And you thought, oh, here, okay, we finally, no, he disappeared. Joey Chestnut comes along, gets attacked, or he gets a protester in front of him, has to take him down, still wins by 20. Where's the competition? And so I can see where Joey Chestnut's like, yeah, I'm lacking that, right? I'm lacking somebody to beat. I need a nemesis. Let's bring it back. So yeah, that's pretty good news. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also for me, I am curious because I want to see, if you're Major League Eating, don't you offer Joey Chestnut a new contract?
Yeah.
Because
where does Major League Eating, how do they make their money?
That's a
good question, right? I mean, a hot dog eating contest is a big deal, but is that one thing sustainable for every? Because we don't see the matzo ball eating contest.
No, we don't really care.
Like, we don't watch when they go, he's the mashed potato world champion. I'm like, I've never seen it on ESPN7.
Nor would I want to.
No, nor would I want to.
No, the hot dog eating one, I don't know what, there's some magic lore behind it.
They don't sell tickets. Like, all these things are free.
Yeah.
Like, you go to Coney Island, it's free. It's not like you have to buy a ticket to stand in front of Nathan's Hot Dogs.
From all the sponsors?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because if you
go
to,
I'm
like,
sure they got sponsors. I mean, I'm sure like, every event they're putting up signage or something.
But if you go to, like, some mom-pop restaurant, they're not forking over a ton of money for this.
Yeah. So
I can understand Nathan saying, hey, you know, this makes us really, yeah, really relevant every July 4th.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and without Joey, does it start to go away? I mean, will we have like a Tiger Woods effect?
Yeah, I agree.
Even the hot dog eating contest, when all of a sudden like the winner's just posting 40, and we're like,
because this thing wasn't big until Kobayashi downed 50 hot dogs.
Right.
Like, it used to be like 20 something hot dogs, and like, oh, it was a cute thing that was on 4th of July. But when he did it 50, I think people were like, wait, did you see that? Did you watch that? Did you see the guy devour 50 hot dogs? And then Joey Chestnut won, and like, hey, there's an American that beat him. Like, this is kind of cool, right? And then it kind of took off from there. But yeah, we'll see. All right, what's the bat of the day?
I got two.
Two?
Because they're kind of different. One, I feel, you know, it's just a PSA announcement from Wake Up Call. We like to do PSA announcements to warn you guys out there.
Right.
But this is a PSA for all you restaurant owners out there. There's a new scam where people are just giving you one-star reviews. And you'll get flooded all of a sudden. You'll get like, you'll wake up one morning and just have 30 one-star reviews. And the only reason why you're getting a one-star review, and these people will contact you about it, it's like, hey, if you give me a gift card or some cash, I will take that one-star review away.
Oh, that's awful. That needs to be exposed
quickly, right?
Quickly, and it needs to be as broadly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Google is doing their best. They're, you know, siphoning through and, like, you know, trying to discover these anomalies and, you know, erase them, remove them before it does any real damage. But I mean, you can, if it's a struggling restaurant, you can end that restaurant.
Yeah, it really
it's,
can.
It's really amazing how that power is there now. It used to be food critics, but now it's just normal people like, oh, I had terrible service, one-star review.
Yeah, it's awful, and we need David Muir and Lester Holt and who's doing CBS, I don't know, whoever's that person, you need to have this on your news, Fox News, MSNBC,
yeah.
CNN, you all need to be talking about this. The more people that can know about this, the better, because this is a scam. It affects the bottom line of hardworking people who are trying to put a restaurant together, who are working really hard. The margins are slim. Most restaurants don't make it. I give people all the credit in the world for trying to do it. A lot of it is they know what, you know, a lot of like chefs, cooks that start restaurants, start the mom and pop restaurants. They have a passion for cooking. They want to share the cooking. They know that the mountain is high. They have to climb a big mountain. Payroll, equipment, food costs, all of that. Location, location, location is extremely important. You really have all of these uphill battles. For this to go on is insane. But you know what? Can I make a point? I'm sorry. I've never been a restaurant manager. I've never been a restaurant owner. I've never worked in corporate restaurants as an executive. But I'm sorry, all of you out there, that all of you chains, and you know who you are, that give free meals because somebody ate 90% of their meal and went, yeah, it was a little underdone, and you went comping the whole thing and come back on us. You've ruined it. For all the mom and pop restaurants out there, because they can't compete with that. They can't compete with that. And people know about it. People know that they can go to a restaurant, eat 75% of the meal, say, yeah, it was a little too seasony or too, yeah, I didn't really like the salt. And most of these chain restaurants will go, nah, we're taking it off your bill. What is it to us? We're a publicly traded company. And so what they go to these mom and pop restaurants and they expect the same thing. They're like, yeah, I ate 3/4 of my penne vodka and it's a little underdone. And they expect Joe, who's been working his tail off to run the restaurant, to go, it's free. Yeah, the corporate restaurant industry has ruined it because people now know they can get meals for free. So that's my little rant. So, all right, what's the second bad?
Just be warned out there. If you all of a sudden wake up one day and you have 31-star reviews, that's why.
What's the second one?
The second bad is it's kind of funny. I think we see it from time to time. But Wayne Rooney, remember him?
Yeah, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, he's a famed English star, was captain of the English national team, captain of Manchester United, even have a little spell in the MLS for a time. Well, he was offered $1 million per year to coach DC United, I'm pretty certain he's taken them up on that offer.
I thought he was
not
introduced yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his wife does not want to move back to America, so she is sending a chaperone with him, his brother.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because apparently, I'm going to say trust issues? I don't know.
Yeah. Not some hot nanny that celebrities seem to hire for whatever reason.
No, but I mean, is that a decent chaperone? I mean, I know send your brother with you, you're still going to get into some issues.
He got
into issues by himself.
Forgive me, but isn't being the head coach at DC United like a long job? Like, are they just splitting up, or is she living in England and he's here in America for like 10 months?
Yeah. Well, how long?
It's not just, you're the coach. It's not like you're playing.
Right.
You still have the draft and off-season stuff and all those things that you have to deal with when you're not playing. MLS season is kind of long.
Yeah.
And the off-season is probably going to take up a month or two of your time. Like,
I guess maybe he figures he can do all that from England, off-season stuff.
I mean, I'm not trying to get into his personal life, but what does it say when your wife goes, I'm not going with you, and you go, fine, I'll take the job anyway. It's $1 million a year. I guess I'll send you checks.
Saw how it worked out for Ted Lasso.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, he took a coaching gig, and look what happened to him.
But, you know, weren't they divorcing anyway when he went out there?
Were they splitting up? Well, I don't know if they were fully splitting up.
I don't think they were on good terms.
Yeah, there's legal issues going on between them.
Well, see, hey, the
marital
issues
going on between them. So
everybody has that love, and he probably loves coaching soccer.
The marriage is strong enough for her to say, "You need to take a chaperone with you."
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that 10 players from the Kansas City Royals will not be in attendance with their upcoming series against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, because they're not vaccinated.
Because they're not vaccinated. I completely, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not forgetful that COVID is still there. You know, we're reminded about it every single day. But I thought we were kind of done with that.
I did too. I know Canada's got a different way of doing COVID than we do. Yeah. I get it. But, it's got to be weird to be in this country where bars and restaurants and movie theaters are full and people are in the streets and they're celebrating. And it's almost like the virus is just like, if you get it, it's just like a bad flu. And it's not the death sentence that it felt like when it first came around. To then go to Canada where people are just morbidly petrified of it still? Is that what's going on up there, where they're just like mentally breaking down and the Royals can't get into the country? Like 10 players can't get into the country? And you know what? Does that make it like if you're on the Blue Jays and the Blue Jays have your rights and you're like, look, I don't want to get vaccinated. Like, I just don't want to get vaccinated.
You want to be Kyrie?
You want to be Kyrie. Like in America, we'd go, okay, there's consequences maybe, but you can do that. But in Canada, they like, that's it. You can't play. You're done. You
stay
don't get any
there.
Money. Stay like, see ya. Like, what do you do?
And to me, it seems like a situation they wouldn't even bother looking for a trade. They just be like, whatever.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Just sit down and we'll call you when our country lifts the mandate. But yeah, this happened to the Red Sox too. There were a couple of Red Sox players that weren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to play in their series with Toronto. And
well,
telling
that's
you
the
right
funny
now,
thing, because one of them's a former Red Sox player, Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, that's
is
right.
Not allowed across the border.
That's right. I'm telling you, this is good. The Toronto Blue Jays are underachieving. They just fired their manager. But that's going to be a problem in the World Series, right? I mean, when you have to bring your full unit and you still got people still going, hey, I'm not getting vaccinated. And they go, we don't care. You can't go to Canada. It's like, really? I can't bring my full team to Canada? Like, the Royals aren't very good. But let's say the Royals are one of the top teams in baseball. And it was like, you could see a playoff collision course at some point, right? Maybe they're division winners or maybe they're division leaders or something. Like
like you said, I mean, this
is... You can't bring 10 people with you?
You know, I mean, what if the Blue Jays, you know, firing their manager, turn it around?
Right.
And then become like a playoff hopeful. Like, we all predicted they were going to be because they got a good young team. And, you know, I mean, a lot of experts picked them to win the AL East. I mean, we know that's not going to happen now because the Yankees are running away from it. But what if they're able to grab one of those wild card spots? Is it a situation now, like, I don't know if everyone on the Yankees is vaccinated. I'm just, you know, throwing that out there.
I think most of them did because New York had that rule for, remember,
right.
The rule was kind of taken away, but it was at the beginning.
And we probably
of the
would have heard about it, but I'm just, you know, what if it was someone like an Aaron Judge who wasn't vaccinated? That means he can't go in Toronto to play.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it kind of handicaps you a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb again, brought to you by Verizon. Eitan Shander is joining us at 40 past the hour. We'll talk Eagles football with him as we continue our NFC East previews this week. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
1983, the music, as you get a throwback Thursday on this date, Mario Brothers, released by Nintendo, the spinoff of Donkey Kong. Still to this day, Mario Brothers a presence in the video game world. She's a maniac, what can you say? All right, now, the ESPY nominations are out. We were talking about Oklahoma softball being a team of the year.
Yes.
And we have the team of year nominations, right?
Yes, there are seven of them.
Seven?
Oh, my God. Seven.
Oscars? What are we doing here?
All of them are predictable.
All right, yeah.
So, the reason why I was bringing this up was because when the Oklahoma Sooners were making that softball run, that magical run, and we knew about the whole season all along, especially you were championing that this probably should be the team of the year.
Yeah, I think they dominated their sport more than anybody dominated them. They crushed their opponents. They only lost like three times, like something like that, three, four times?
Yeah, I think they lost three times. And to every team that they lost, they beat again.
That's right. They beat again. They had like 30, close to 30 shutouts. Like they were remarkable.
And I think, you know, around that same number of run rules.
Yeah.
Like we talked about it with was it Jocelyn Allo? J-Lo?
Yeah. Yep.
That we I unfortunately we will never know how many home runs she could have hit.
Right,
they because they lost like I think it was like the equivalent of 8 to 10 games.
Yeah, because of run rule limits and whatnot. So yeah, so I think they should be team of the year. Who else is nominated?
Well, I mean, they're going up. I'm going to go from like not a chance in you know what to you know these guys could be competitors. So Chicago Sky, that's a WNBA team, by the way, Tony.
Yeah, right.
The Colorado Avalanche, I think, is a good team, but I don't think they're going to get the love.
No, I don't think so. It's unfortunate, but they were really good. I mean, they were really good, but I don't think so.
Yeah. What about college football, Georgia Bulldogs?
Maybe. That's got potential because, they beat Alabama, right? I mean, it's like finally they beat Alabama. So, yeah, I could see that, but still not better than Oklahoma softball.
How about the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, haven't they won enough?
That's exactly.
I mean, didn't they win all the SBs back in the day when they were winning championships?
Like in 14 and 15. I want to say,
Curry
yeah. I think.
You know, player of the year.
I think they've already been team of the year.
Exactly.
The Atlanta Braves.
Maybe. That's a very good team.
Yeah.
That was a fun team, but no.
But here's the issue that I have with it is that. You know, you want to look at the whole body of work.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves just like get the three or four main players like after the All-Star break, just before the trade deadline.
Right.
So they weren't on the team opening day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then finally, and this one is the tricky one because I did enjoy this team throughout the year and they have a good story, but it might be just, you know, an individual story, and that's the Rams.
I think the Rams probably could make a run at that.
But is that more just like a Matt Stafford story or
of
redemption? Like, give him the award.
I just like the Rams the way they bucked the tradition and were like, we're just going to go out and get players and take all of our draft picks. We don't care. Like, that's not valuable to us. We really want players that we know could fit what we want to do. And then let's go out and see what that does. And if our window is short and we don't win a championship out of it, we're willing to take that gamble. And they got a championship out of it. And yeah, you know, I could see the Rams. You're right. It's a pretty good story. They just got back to LA a couple of years ago and they got a new stadium and Matt Stafford finally wins a championship after all those years at Detroit where he was a very good player, but not on a great team.
Made probably the best AT&T commercial.
Yeah. What like, yeah, right. Oh, the best. That is the best. That is the best. Yeah. I still like Oklahoma softball. I wonder how many people though would see it as, oh, there's ESPN again, giving it to the softball team from Oklahoma, right? Rather than the Rams, right?
Would a softball team even be nominated?
Exactly.
You know, baseball's not nominated.
I still don't think that, even though, like, I was impressed, I don't think a lot of the rest of America were watching, you know, whatnot. So it's not going to be familiar for a lot of people if they get that award. But, yeah, I think ESPN will probably pick Oklahoma softball. They were that good. But I also think, too, and again, I understand that there's a level of parity at certain levels of sports than others. I mean, in softball, Oklahoma created a dominating team and dominated everybody. And maybe that's easier to do in softball, college softball, than it is the NFL, for example. Like, the Rams didn't go 16-1, you know, like, and they struggled they almost blew the game against Tampa Bay. The Niners had them against the ropes. So it's not like they dominated en route to the Super Bowl and won by three at the Super Bowl. I think you would take a team like Oklahoma softball and go, where did they stumble? Like, where in the season did they struggle? They didn't. They dominated from the second. They were the defending champs. They were number one in the nation. They never were not number one in the nation. And then they did all of these things during the regular season and rolled through the College World Series. So I would take them. Eitan Shander joins us next. Let's preview the Eagles. Playoff team last year, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and now A.J. Brown on offense. Plus, again, two draft picks from the Georgia Bulldogs on the team, along with Fletcher Cox. So we got a lot to discuss with Eitan Shander next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1983 on a Throwback Thursday. Enjoying the music? For those of you old enough to remember it, some of these are one-hit wonders. Some of these are done by stars. I know this song, but I kind of forgot who did it. But nevertheless, it's 1983. Mario Brothers from Nintendo came out. Still to this day, you can get Mario Brothers stuff. The Eagles, coming off a 9-8 season last year, made the playoffs, lost to Tampa Bay. They got A.J. Brown now in the draft. So what exactly was last season? Like, it's you know, again, as I said earlier, and I've been saying all morning, it doesn't playoff teams aren't really surprising. You can start seeing teams being pretty good as the weeks tick off. And here were the Eagles not being competitive against Dallas, who are 12-5 in the division, but finding themselves going, hey, look, there's an extra wild card team. There's three of them now. Why not us? And they made it. So now they go into this season just a touch above 500. But what are the expectations, especially in the passing game? Because, again, they've got A.J. Brown. Didn't throw the ball a lot last year. They're one of the top running teams in the country. In fact, they were the number one rushing team in the country. But near the bottom in terms of passing yards per game. But now they've got A.J. Brown. How much will that will change? And how well did they do in the draft? N'Kobe Dean, again, coming off an injury to Georgia. Good pick in the third round for linebacker. But they also got Jordan Davis, a defensive tackle out of Georgia, with their number one pick. So there's a lot of questions about the Eagles coming off a playoff appearance last year. And when we talk Eagles or anything Philadelphia, we have to bring on Eitan Shander on our progressive guest line. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Tony, and I appreciate that because there are much smarter people than me in this region. So thank you for thinking of me.
Of course. We like you because we were just talking about you the other day. We like you because every now and then you have a little bit of fandom that comes in, and we really appreciate it. When, like, we talk to you about the Sixers, we can sense it. We can feel it when you talk about Philadelphia teams. So we do enjoy that about you.
Yeah, right. Look. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's like, even if you're not from this area and you just come to work here, it's impossible to not be swept up in the emotions of it. And it's just amazing. Like, you know, we've both spent time, Nashville, other parts, and you can make that argument with, like, UT down there, I'm sure, you know, some other things in different regions. But in Philly, it's like everything. And you kind of just have to just do it. Otherwise, you know, you'll be looked at like an alien. Or a robot. You know, how come you don't have any emotions or feelings?
Right. So we were kind of discussing this team last year. Try to give us, in a broader sense, what was last season? This was just a touch above 500, but a playoff team. Was it a team that overachieved, about right, and then given the circumstances made the playoffs? How do you quantify what they did in 2021?
Okay, I think it's a healthy balance of forget it, and build on it, meaning there were a ton of circumstances that fell into the Philadelphia Eagles' lap, including and mainly their schedule, where they beat up on really bad teams, Tony, but also bad quarterbacks. I mean, if you look at the teams that they lost to versus the teams that they won, it's pretty simple. It's good versus bad quarterbacks, and it's just really hard to build off. Yeah, we made the playoffs, great. And I'm not saying we the team. I'm speaking for them. You know, they made the playoffs, which is great. You don't take that away from it. But when you look at week to week and you look at the circumstances of who they played, the quarterbacks, both in where they were in the season, also as far as where they were in their careers, Matt Ryan, right? Like, it's hard to say that is something that's going to be built upon moving forward. So that's the kind of forget about it thing where you just have to be honest with the circumstances surrounding the season. Now, what you build upon is that Jalen Hurts looked good. I mean, he looked great, but he looked good. He looked good enough to have a shot now to be the starting quarterback moving forward. The new head coach, Nick Sirianni, you know, outside of all the platitudes and stupid games that he played at the NFL draft, this guy had the ability to connect. He had the ability to coach. He had the ability to get the most out of people. I think when you look at the defense, clearly there were some issues that they addressed with the linebacker spot now moving forward. So the team, this is where I would end this statement, Tony, is that the team is building off of last year like it's sustainable, which is a good thing. They're addressing needs. They're sticking with Hurts. They brought in A.J. Brown. But reality tells you that the bounce of a ball or a schedule is going to determine a lot this year.
And I get that certain personnel dictates what you do, but offensively they ran the ball great, number one team rushing. But was it because wide receiver was a problem and now it is not with A.J. Brown here?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? Like, who's Jalen Hurts throwing to outside of Devontae Smith, right? So that's the issue, is that, you know, Nick Sirianni at one point did move away from the run. It's just that when Miles Sanders went down, they had no choice but to kind of run by committee.
Right.
And by doing that, it just opened up a lot of the running. And look, also, a lot of the running stats came from Hurts,
right,
who was smart when he knew to tuck the football. I mean, you look at third down conversions of his runs last year. They were stellar. His goal line attempts, he was one of the leading scorers, you know, as far as in the red zone on the ground. So there was a lot of Jalen Hurts and also just necessity of running by committee. But look, here's the thing. When things opened up and they were fully healthy and you saw Devontae come into his own and you saw Dallas Goedert healthy and anybody on the other side was just, you know, Quez Watkins at times who could get down the field. Nick Sirianni is like everybody else in this league, Tony. They can't help themselves and they're going to throw like Cliff Kingsbury, right? So that's the concern, is that with this new crew, Sirianni's going to start throwing a lot and abandon the run, which was successful for them.
A.J. Brown is a big play wide receiver. At times, were they good on big play passing opportunities?
Well, I'm sorry, the last part, Tony?
Were they good at times in big play passing opportunities? Despite the receiver or the lack thereof, were they able to get some big plays,
yeah,
occasionally throwing the ball? Because A.J. Brown is a big play wide receiver.
Yep. You're right, and yes, they were. I think Quez Watkins was able to establish himself last year as a 3-4, depending on who's on the depth chart, guy that you can count on in the slot. You can move him to the outside. He's got downfield speed and he's got size. Now, it's not every time that you're going to hit him downfield for 40 yards and, you know, he's going to catch the ball out of bounds or, you know, that awful play that's in everybody's mind from last year. I mean, this dude can play, and that's something they're going to build on, his speed as a third option. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, the goal is that by sending both of those guys middle, deep sideline down the field every time you pass the ball, somebody's going to be open, right? I mean, the spacing of this should be akin to what you see in the NBA with, like, multiple stars and trying to get maximized space on the floor. It should be the same thing. Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, Miles Sanders out of the backfield, Quez Watkins in the slot, or depending on who they slot on the outside. That should be enough, Tony, for Jalen Hurts to drop back and make some consistent throws downfield, which he has to get better at, clearly, but he can do, and they did do it last year, so they damn sure better do it this year with A.J. Brown.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. They get Jordan Davis in round one. Nakobe Dean, who I like despite an injury, and in round three. Filling holes, growing, are they desperately needed on this defense? How do those two fit in?
So, look, when you draft a specimen, a young man at this point, as large as Jordan Davis, and clearly with the guys around him and on that defensive line, the expectation is that he steps in and takes immediate pressure off of a guy like Fletcher Cox. Or Fletcher Cox continues to get doubled and possibly tripled at times, and this opens up a hell of a year for Jordan Davis simply due to circumstance, simply because the guy next to him is getting double-teamed way more often than not. Jordan Davis is a necessity. He will fit in right away. He will be out there probably two downs a series. We'll see what they do with rotations if they run a faster type NASCAR package. But it's going to be Jordan Davis out there. And they needed him in the event that Fletcher Cox is gone at the end of the year, which is pretty strong right now that he's probably playing his last season as a Philadelphia Eagle, especially if Jordan Davis looks like he can work out. Now, Nakobe Dean, I put a little sprinkle on this young man for Defensive Rookie of the Year simply because of what you mentioned. The injury knocked a first rounder down to a third rounder.
Sure did.
He looks right, but here's the thing, though, man. He looks good. Like, he looks healthy. And the Eagles are in a spot where they desperately need a three-down linebacker. N'Kobe Dean, a third-round pick, could be, and I think should be, and probably will be, and I bet that he will be, a three-down linebacker for this Philadelphia Eagles team, where stats alone accrued from being in that spot could put him in a really good situation to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So N'Kobe Dean is going to be a kid that the Eagles will rely upon so long as N'Kobe Dean can get on the field, and so far, so good.
I agree with you completely. I love N'Kobe Dean, and I thought this was a steal. I thought, you know, when he gets better, he is going to be great. I loved him at Georgia, and I thought getting him in the third round, you're right, that's like getting a first rounder with that pick. That is a great move. I was a little surprised other people didn't pick up on that, but the Eagles certainly did. That being said, okay, we were discussing this with Carolina when they got Baker Mayfield, and we said, look, if you look at the NFC, it's not the AFC. There's not divisions that are just loaded like the AFC West. Mm-hmm. That being said, I mean, are the Eagles why not the Eagles in a playoff mix again? Is that too far-fetched? Were there too many circumstances that allowed for success? Or are they in the middle with New Orleans, Carolina, San Francisco, all these teams that may not win the division, but they certainly are one of three that are left over?
They can beat any team any bad team in the NFL. They can beat any average team in the NFL. They should be able to hang with most good teams in the NFL. That's how I think I approach my expectations this year. You add a 17th game. This is a playoff team primarily because it ain't going to be Washington, where Ron Rivera has a losing record straight up at home as a coach of the Commanders. Like, you just don't make playoff series year in, year out when you're losing consistently at home. The New York Giants, I think, are on an uptick, but that's like being rock bottom and then now not being rock bottom. Like, you're an inch above rock bottom. So they're going to need some time, especially with that quarterback who's horrendous. Yeah, I mean, by just circumstance here, the Philadelphia Eagles are either the best or second best team in the NFC East, and that should be good enough for a playoff bid, without a doubt.
Yeah, and you mentioned the bad teams. They've got the AFC South on their schedule this year, so they get Jacksonville and Houston, two teams that are, you know, so.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm just going to say, be careful. All right, now, the Titans game, absolutely. Like, Eagles win. Eagles beat the Titans, A.J. Brown, that's a win one for the Gipper type thing, like win one for us, or our guy now. I see that. But let me tell you something, and I know you didn't come to me for Jacksonville, but Jacksonville has my former guy here, Doug Peterson, guy who brought me
no
a
doubt.
Super Bowl and a parade. That I'm going to tell you something right now. Ron Culver's probably going to fall off his chair as I say this. Doug Peterson's going to win Coach of the Year. Doug Peterson's going to win 10 games, and Doug Peterson is going to shock the NFL. I don't know if they make the playoffs, probably a 10, but Doug Peterson has a shot to win that division so long as the Titans take a step back. Matt Ryan is atrocious against the spread over the last 2 years, and any team that we've seen minus 10 or worse in the turnover margin 1 year, they come back. They're like 60% against the spread, like 58, 59 straight up against the spread. Oh, and last thing, Doug Peterson alone taking over a team. He's done it already with the Eagles. I'm telling you, Coach of the Year.
And you said there were better people to get on than you. Stop it. That's nonsense.
Well,
you're the
smarter.
Best.
I said smarter.
You're still smarter. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it,
I love
as always.
It, brother.
I do too, man. Appreciate it. Eitan Shander. Love him, man. Progressive Insurance, making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. We'll be back. Wrap up the hour on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Eitan Shander never disappoints when we have him on.
Never.
What did we say yesterday? We love him because when he comes on, it's not blatant. It's not fully obvious. But he leaks in a little of that fandom, right? That little passion that comes from Philadelphia fans into every time we talk to him. We do a lot of them with the Sixers. He didn't bring it until the very end of the interview and then poured it like syrup on pancakes. As soon as I said, yeah, Jacksonville and Houston. Oh, no. Hold on. Doug Peterson's my guy. And went off coach of the year. I love it. I love it.
10 games. And,
by the way, I know he said they won 10
game winners.
By the way, we might fall out of our chair, but here's the reality. We'd actually like it because that means Trevor Lawrence is emerging as an NFL star quarterback if they were to do that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, that is the one team I think for me personally I'm rooting for this year because I want to see Trevor be that quarterback we kept asking for all last year.
Exactly. The one that was built in the laboratory that was the can't-miss prospect. So if he's right about Doug Peterson, we'd actually welcome that. That would be good.
I mean, love the fact, because you were bringing up, like, hey, how's it going to feel if the Eagles play the Tennessee Titans? How are you going to feel about that?
Yeah.
You know, Hollywood Brown. He's like, oh, that's just win one for the Gipper, whatever. But Jacksonville!
Jacksonville! This is not a walkover like you think it is. Look out.
Yeah, that's our guy.
All right.
Hour three. That's a trophy.
Big 12 Media Day is going on, and guess what? They said it was open for business. What does that mean? We got that for you coming up, as well as an updated leaderboard from the British Open at St. Andrews. And more on the Eagles continuing our NFC East preview as we continue.